And the subject title, obviously, as it's Christmas,
is the birth, thanks, is the birth of Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Well, we're all pretty well familiar with the Christmas story. We've heard it many times down many years. So rather than going back over the facts of Jesus' birth, which, as I say, that we're all aware of, I thought for a change that we would focus on people's attitudes as they were at that time when Jesus was born, and compare those to people's attitudes of today, particularly if God had decided to have sent Jesus today instead of 2,000 years ago. Would our view be any different today of those of 2,000 years ago? So, looking at the people then, as they were 2,000 years back, I think you'd all agree that they were all very religious people. I'm not sure if atheism ever existed, albeit that people worship false gods. Israel did indeed themselves many times. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, there were the stories of the Jews worshipping false idols and false gods. And then God would bring them into line through the prophets, and then everything would be fine for a period of time. Then they would drift away again back to their false gods. And so it went backwards and forwards all the way through most of the story of the Old Testament times. And probably the other people other than the Jews, the Gentiles at that time, I'm guessing, would also probably have worshipped some sort of a god, statues, whatever. They would have had their own gods. So, as I say, maybe atheism didn't exist at that time, but nonetheless people were confused as to who God was. I think if you look at the key figures surrounding Jesus' birth, if you look at King Herod, well, he was told that a king would be born in Bethlehem, and he obviously saw this king as a future threat to him, who would one day grow up and raise an army and perhaps invade King Herod and dethrone King Herod's empire. So for King Herod, the thing to do was to get rid of the problem at birth and try to kill Jesus, which obviously wasn't going to work. So that's how Herod saw the Messiah. And the disciples themselves, they'd spent three and a half years in Jesus, travelling around the country with Jesus. They'd seen all sorts of healings, Jesus walking on the water, turn the water into wine, walking on the water, various healings. They'd even seen Lazarus risen from death. And they'd heard all the stories of the parables concerning an earthly comparison with the kingdom of God. And yet, even after all those years and all those occasions, when Jesus was eventually crucified and then resurrected, I don't think the penny had really dropped with them even at that point. And of course, there was the story of Thomas, for example, who took the view, well, he couldn't possibly have risen from death because it's not possible for anyone to rise from death. And they were the disciples who had lived with Jesus. And then there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they saw Jesus as a threat to their own Jewish law. And they didn't really get the message either as to who Jesus was. So I think people, although they were godly in some way, they were very confused and never really got to grips with who Jesus really and truly was. So contrasting that with the people of today, well, unfortunately in the Western world in particular today, we have atheism which has sprung up, and I think the modern age with which we live in, the science, the age of science and technology, has unfortunately reinforced that belief of atheism in a lot of people. I think that's one of the devil's tricks that's happened with the modern world. About 30-odd years ago, I read this book about the modern age, and I can't remember the name of the book now, and I can't remember the name of the author either, but it was all about how the devil has shaped the modern world. And I think when you look at a lot of things with modern technology, the internet perhaps is a classic case of that, with the focusing on the bad things of the internet, I think that's probably got the devil's influence in there somewhere. And so atheism has sprung up mainly in the Western world in particular. And really, when you look at Western society today, I think it's become over-obsessed to the point of being just totally over-obsessed with wealth and materialistic ideas. That's the false artificial values that society preaches today in the West. 2 weeks ago, a pair of John Lennon sunglasses were auctioned at an auction in New York. How much do you think they fetched? 5,000? 10,000? Keep going. No? Any ideas? £137,000. I doubt whether that would have been any good to anybody, because I think John Lennon wore prescription glasses, didn't he? So presumably the sunglasses would have been prescription glasses as well. It would be much cheaper to go to Vision Express. But that really is symbolic, I think, of today's materialistic society. And the really scary thing is, that was in an auction, so presumably the successful bidder must have had at least one other person bidding against him, so the price must have been going up and up and up. So the scary thing is, what did the other person, the loser, offer? 120,000, 130,000? I don't know. But how ridiculous is it that someone would spend £137,000 on a pair of sunglasses? Perhaps I should auction these off. These were once worn by Hank Marvin or someone. So what would today's society think if God had sent Jesus today? Well, I think with our materialism and obsession with wealth in the Western world, I think we would say, well, he couldn't possibly be God. He wouldn't have been born into poverty. He must have been born in a mansion. And when he grew up, he would have had many villas around the world, probably a fleet of 20 or 30 Ferraris and Lamborghinis, a bank balance of at least 50 billion, and a large staff in waiting. So that wouldn't fit the bill of someone occupying such a prominently high position in life. But God isn't like that. God isn't like that at all. And God chose Jesus and brought Jesus into the world, both fully human and fully divine. And the materialistic world of the Western world, I think, would struggle to understand that. If Jesus had come into the world as only God, then he would still have been... He would have been pretty well inaccessible to us today, because he would have been only God and not a person. And could he have suffered, could he have really suffered like Jesus suffered, with all the rejection and the hurt and the pain? Would he have had human reactions like being tired? Would he have really felt the pain on the cross indeed? So if he was only God, then he would have been difficult to have related to because he wouldn't have been human. On the other hand, if he was only human, well, he would be just a nice guy, just an exceptionally nice person, but he would only be one of us at the end of the day, and he couldn't have forgiven us, and he couldn't have died for us. And would he have been totally, you know, I mean totally 100% trustworthy if he was only human? That's the uniqueness of Jesus. And there isn't anybody else, is there, that's ever been born that's totally 100% trustworthy. Not even us. Well, certainly not me. I know I've got my human frailties like everybody else. Just over 10 days ago, we elected a new government. And looking at the government majority that Boris Johnson's got, he's likely to be there for at least 10 years. During that time, some of your kids will have grown up and likely have grown up and likely to be married before we have a change of government around. So whether you're a Conservative voter or whether you're not makes no difference because he's there for the long haul. But do you really trust Boris Johnson to deliver on his pledges? They've made many pledges in their manifesto. Do you really trust that he'll be able to deliver them? When you look at the state that the country's in today, I recently wrote down a list of items, bullet point items, of things that seem radically wrong with Britain today. I've got the 22 items. Yes, there's the NHS, there's the shortage of police, which the government have already spoken about, but there's things like knife crime, drug addiction, homelessness, fraud is running at very high levels, particularly on the internet. Personal debt's running at a very high level. The high streets are closing. The roads are hopelessly overcrowded with traffic and hopelessly overcrowded with people that are insisting on driving too dangerously. So if you look at traffic flashes around the country, you find there's accident black spots all day long on certain motorways, M25, M1, etc. And we've got a failing transport system. If anyone commutes to London on a train or on a bus, well, you know what that's like. And then we're overrun with litter. All in all, I've got 22 items. Now, I know the government have made a promise on certain things. But will they really be able to find, or will the NHS really be able to find 31,000 more nurses to join the workforce that's already there? Will the police be able to find 20,000 more police to be trained and recruited before they become operational? And will Boris Johnson's government really be able to negotiate a trade deal with the EU next year, by the end of next year, when the EU have already said it's going to take several years to do? I know where I put my trust, and unfortunately, it isn't in any government, and it isn't in any politician. I prefer to keep my trust in Jesus, and I like to think you'd all do the same. The one who created us all in the first place, and the one that came down to earth to die for us, for our salvation. I wish you all a very happy Christmas. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that when we were far away, you came down to us. You came down to us to meet us in our low place here on earth. And you came down to reveal the truth of the one true God to us. And you died for us to save our sins. We can never, ever, ever praise you enough, to thank you enough. It's my prayer that you will bless each and every one of us here with our families and friends this Christmas time. For Jesus' sake, Amen. Amen.